আলহামদুলিল্লাহ নাহমাদুহু ওয়া نستাইনুহু ওয়া نستাগফিরুহু ওয়া নুমিনু বিহি ওয়া নাতাওয়াক্কালু আলাইহি ওয়া নাউযু বিল্লাহি মিন শুরুরি আনফুসিনা ওয়া মিন সাইয়্যাতি আ'মালিনা মান ইয়াহদিহিল্লাহু ফালা মুদিল্লা লাহু ওয়া মান ইউদ্লিলহু ফালা হাদিয়া লাহু ওয়া নাশহাদু আল্লা ইলাহা ইল্লাল্লাহু ওয়াহদাহু লা শারীকা লাহু ওয়া নাশহাদু আন্না সাইয়্যিদানা ওয়া মাওলানা মুহাম্মাদান আবদুহু ওয়া রাসূলুহু أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم آية المنافق ثلاث إذا حدث كذب وإذا وعد أخلف وإذا أؤتمن خان أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most dear respected elders and brothers, firstly I would like to take this opportunity to congratulate each and every one of us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us that lifespan that we are able to experience the Mubarak month of Ramadan. And today is the first Jumu'ah after the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, my dear brothers, it has been seen and observed that whenever it is the month of Ramadan, our brothers exert themselves in the ibadat aspect of our deen. We need to understand that our deen is made up of various branches. And amongst those various branches, one very important branch of our deen is made up of the ibadat aspect. And that ibadat aspect of our deen concerns our salah, concerns our zakah, concerns our performing of hajj, and various other ibadat, our tilawat of the Quran, and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc. that we do, and we try to exert ourselves, especially during the month of the Mubarak month of Ramadan. So alhamdulillah, we have attained to a certain extent that which we had set out to do and attain, that was during the Mubarak month of Ramadan. And most importantly, that lesson of the Mubarak month of Ramadan was to cultivate within ourselves that quality and that sifat of taqwa, which is actually the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 24 hours of a person's day and night, that he has in front of him the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is actually what is taqwa, and this is what we had set out to strive to achieve and attain from the very first day of Ramadan, right till after the month of Ramadan. And that was actually fuel for us to be able to sustain ourselves with the sifat and quality of taqwa for the remaining 11 months until Allah makes it such that inshallah we see another Mubarak month of Ramadan. But very importantly, my dear brothers, is what I need to emphasize today, is that this notion and this thought that is in our minds, that I have achieved during the month of Ramadan, I have performed my ibadat, I have exerted myself in the salat of tahajjud and the awabin and all the nafil ibadat that needed to be done. Alhamdulillah, that is a certain aspect and a branch of our deen. The other remaining branches of our deen, one is the imaniyat aspect, which obviously if there is no iman, then that ibadat aspect does not even be fulfilled. So out of the five branches, alhamdulillah, we have the two branches that have been completed and terminated, in the sense that we bring iman and we have fulfilled to a certain extent the aspect of ibadat, and that we do on a daily basis. But the other aspects that are related to our deen are with regard to the muamalat and dealings of a person. Now, with equal importance, just like how ibadat is important in our deen, similarly is the muamalat of a person and the dealings of a person, the transactions, etc. that a person conducts, it has and constitutes the same importance, just like how the ibadat aspect of our deen has importance, my dear brothers. Similarly, like how the imaniyat aspect of our deen has importance in our sight, my dear brothers, similarly the mu'amalat aspect, and similarly the mu'asharat aspect of our deen, where we have our social relationships with various people, whether it be our wife or whoever it might be, the social aspect of our deen has the equal amount of importance. And then finally, it terminates with akhlaq and the character of a person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself came and he said in a hadith, mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, that I have been sent so that we may be able to achieve the pinnacle of good character, of good akhlaq and good character. So one is the ibadat aspect of our deen, which we have been exerting ourselves with and we have achieved to a certain extent. But my dear brothers, let us put it into our hearts and into our mind and understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the ayat that I recited before you, that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً, that O you who believe, imagine Allah is addressing me and you, we are already believers. So Allah is addressing us and telling us that, O you who believe, those of you who have iman in me, those of you who have brought iman in Allah and in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, udkhulu fi silmi kafa, enter into the deen of Islam in totality, in completion, in completely, wholeheartedly and completely. There's a very great lesson in this ayat of the Quran, my dear brothers, that a person is not allowed to be where he can choose certain aspects of his deen, and those that are suitable to him, he practices on those aspects related to his deen, and thereafter he discards those that may be difficult upon him, or those that he feels that he cannot fulfill. This is not Islam, my dear brothers. This is a notion where we think that we are Muslim, and we are fulfilling the demands and the rights of our deen. But in reality, from the various ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact from the hadith that I recited before you, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there are three signs of a munafiq. We know who is a munafiq. A munafiq is that person who says something with his tongue. He's saying something with his tongue, but in reality what he is saying is not in his heart. He does not have that same in his heart. He is saying something, but his belief in his heart is something else. That is who is a munafiq. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us three signs of a munafiq. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith says, آيَةُ الْمُنَافِقِ ثَلَاثِ إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذِبِ. The first most important sign that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized and taught us was that this sign of a munafiq is that when he speaks, he lies. Now on one aspect is the ibadat aspect of our deen, where a person might be exerting himself in staying awake at night, reciting his salat of tahajjud, exerting himself in making tilawat of the Quran. On the other hand, exerting himself in a remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He might be performing his salat of five times a day with jamaat in the first saf. He might be exerting himself in every aspect related to the ibadat aspect of our deen. But my dear brothers, look at what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us with regard to this particular person who might be a believer in thinking he is a believer. He is exerting himself. But when he speaks, if he lies, he has been termed and given that he is a munafiq in the sight of Allah, in the sight of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this clear understanding of our deen, that our deen is a total deen, a deen that is a complete way of life, my dear brothers. A person does not accept Islam only on looking at the ibadat of a person. Who is here to see the ibadat of a Muslim? I don't see any non-Muslim in this masjid now. Very seldom or very, very scarcely you hear of certain incidents where a person might be observing somebody performing his salah, and he performs his salah in such a manner that it really attracts the person who might be observing and seeing him. But there are very few people who have accepted the deen of Islam only on looking at the ibadat aspect of our deen, my dear brothers. There are very few people. When we are fasting, you are fasting, or I am fasting, nobody knows. I don't know who is fasting from amongst us. Neither does anybody know whether I am fasting or not. It is only between that banda and his Rabb. So what I am saying is that it is related only to him and his Rabb. And between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody knows it. Nobody will accept Islam because of the fasting of a certain person. No. Nobody observes you reciting and making tilawat of the Quran. So very few people accept the deen of Islam looking at the ibadat of any particular person. But my dear brothers, you will be surprised to learn that 3/4 of our deen is related with aspects related with other people and aspects related with the mu'amalat and mu'asharat of our dealings and our social conduct and our akhlaq. 3/4 of our deen lies in that, my dear brothers. And yes, people do accept Islam and wholeheartedly will accept Islam when they see that a Muslim is in reality, this is who is a Muslim. That in reality a Muslim is one who, when he speaks, it might be something that is bitter, it might be something that is against himself, but he will speak the truth whenever it has to be said. A Muslim is this person, the manner in which he is conducting his business affairs, that when he is in a masjid, he is a different personality. And when he's conducting his business affairs, he conducts it in a manner that is totally contrary to what his deen is teaching him. Then, my dear brothers, nobody will accept Islam. But when they will see that this very person, the manner in which he reads his salat and the manner in which he fulfills his ibadat aspect of his deen, and then when he goes out of this masjid and then he is involved in dealing with people, he is involved in business transactions, he is involved in various other aspects with regard to dealing with people and akhlaq and character, then he also strives to attain and fulfill that whatever is the requirement of our deen and sharia. People will accept Islam when they see that, my dear brothers. When a person comes to our business place, and when a Muslim businessman points out and shows him that this is the defect in an article, this is what is going to attract that particular person towards the deen of Islam. When a Muslim businessman will allow or give a discount, or he'll allow a person to purchase something and pay him at a later date or whatever it might be, and when the person is unable to fulfill that promise or obligation, he allows him time. This is what is that akhlaq that is going to attract a person towards the deen of Islam. This is that akhlaq that won the hearts of people towards the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Look at Malaysia and Indonesian islands, my dear brothers. No one went with a sword. Nobody went and put a sword on anyone and said, accept Islam. No. They looked at the akhlaq and the character of the Muslim businessmen. And when they visualized and they saw that these are people who have come from foreign land, and this is the manner in which they conduct their business affairs, they do not cheat, etc. My dear brothers, those were the magnets because of which people were attracted towards the deen of Islam. And this is not only limited, my dear brothers, during that time. At every aspect of our life, if we become a model of what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explicitly desired of us, my dear brothers, every Muslim today, he is a flag bearer of the deen of Islam. This is not only the responsibility of certain people or certain individual groups or a certain community. No, my dear brothers. It is the responsibility of giving the deen of Islam and practically demonstrating the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the responsibility of each and every person who is a Muslim. You are a flag bearer of the deen of Islam. You are the holder of the certificate of a Muslim, the one who has surrendered himself towards the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is who is a Muslim. So wherever you may be, however you may be, in whatever position you are a da'i, you are invited towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever position you may be. And your akhlaq and your character, your dealings and your mu'amalat, your mu'asharat, etc. is those things that are going to attract the various groups of people towards the deen of Islam. Not only the ibadat aspect of our deen, my dear brothers. Look at the lives of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum during the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, a young boy who was grazing the sheep. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was traveling. He was feeling very thirsty, and he saw a little boy nearby grazing some animals, and he said that, let me go and ask him. We know the hospitality of Arabs, that when they know a traveler coming, they will themselves present the milk or whatever it might be. The ikram of an Arab is understood. This is part and parcel. Hospitality is part and parcel of their blood. It runs in the blood of an Arab, hospitality. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu thought that this is a good idea. Let me go to him and explain to him that I'm a traveler, I'm very thirsty, give me some milk. Listen to the answer of that young boy. He answered to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu and he told him that, oh uncle, he did not know who he was addressing. Oh uncle, this sheep that I have got for grazing, this is an amanat and trust that I have with me. The owner of this has given me the responsibility of taking care of the sheep. He has not given me the ijazat and permission that I may able to, milk some of them and be able to probably give you the milk. I understand that you are a traveler, but I do not have that permission from my owner that I may able to give you this milk. This is an amanat and I cannot breach that amanat. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu understood this child is not an ordinary child. He said, let me test him a little further and see how much of iman, how much of consciousness, what taqwa that me and you have been striving for during the Mubarak month of Ramadan, how much is in this boy. He tells the boy, you know what, I will pay you for the sheep. I will pay you, sell it to me. And then if your master has to ask you, it is common knowledge in a wilderness when a person is grazing animals, one animal sometimes strays away, gets lost, or maybe gets eaten by a wolf. So you can tell him that it got eaten up, or it strayed off, and I never realized. And you can have the benefit of the money, and I will have the animal, I'll milk it, and I'll eat the meat also. So my dear brothers, that little boy screamed in front of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said that, oh my uncle, you are saying that I must give you the animal. Nobody is in our presence, it is only you and me. فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is watching me. Allah is aware of each and every aspect related to our dealings and our life. Allah is aware of each and every moment that transpires in the life of a person. What answer will I give to my creator and sustainer when Allah will question me on this? No, I cannot ever do this. This is that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was not reading salat at that particular time. It was not the aspect related to salat, it was the aspect related to amanat and trust, my dear brothers. And what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say in the hadith that I mentioned, that amongst the signs of a munafiq is that when he is given any trust, then he makes khiyanat in that trust. He does not fulfill the rights and obligations of that trust. In fact, he violates that trust. Now look at us, my dear brothers. Take that similar incident and put it into our life. How many of us might not be executors of estates, or we might be entrusted with whatever it might be? And how many of us have not violated that trust, my dear brothers? And still, we call ourselves Muslim, my dear brothers. Allah forbid, Allah give me also, I am also in need of this, my dear brothers. That Allah instill with us the completeness of deen. Deen is not only ibadat, not only the dhikr of Allah, not only tilawat of Quran, not only reading salah, but a person is a Muslim in a masjid, he's a Muslim in his business house as well. He's a Muslim in a masjid, he's a Muslim in his profession as well. He can't only be a Muslim in a masjid. Allah tells us, enter into Islam with completeness, in totality. Do not become choosy, don't take those aspects of deen that are related to you, that you are attracted to, that you are happy with, and then you make demands on others because those things are suitable to you. But when it comes to obligations that you have to fulfill, where it might be, I am an employer, and I have to fulfill the rights and duties that I have towards my employees, then I violate that. This is not a Muslim, my dear brothers. Islam is a complete way of life. Islam is a total religion, where a person has to completely submit himself towards the commands and orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Huzaifah ibn al-Yaman, very famous Sahabi, he was called Sahibu Sir. He knew the secrets. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him certain secrets. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disclosed to him the names of some of the people who are regarded as munafiqeen. But he told him to keep it a secret. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu once asked him, tell me the names. He said, "I no, that is a secret between Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and myself." Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu beseeched of him and cried and asked him, "Oh Huzaifa, tell me whether my name is amongst those names." Who is asking? Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar, that Sahabi whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions with regard to him and said, "Law kana nabiyyan ba'di lakana Umar." He is saying, had there been a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Umar is asking Hazrat Huzaifa, tell me, is my name amongst those list of people whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to you and told you about the munafiqeen? It was a habit of Hazrat Umar, he used to see, if Huzaifa used to be in a janazah, then he used to make the janazah of the person who passed away. If he was not there, he never used to make the janazah, the possibility that that person might have been a munafiq. This Hazrat Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman, he was traveling with his father and going to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, going to accept Islam. On the way, Abu Jahl got hold of them. "Where are you going?" They said, "We are going to Medina. We are going to meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He said, "I will not allow you to go." It was close to the time of the Battle of Badr. Huzaifa radiallahu anhu told him that, "Okay, please allow us to go. We are just going to have a meeting with him. We just want to meet with him." So he said that there may be a battle between us, and if you go, you will formulate and you'll be part of the forces against us. How can I allow you to go? So Hazrat Huzaifa and his father, Hazrat Yaman, they promised and they said to Abu Jahl that, "No, we are taking Ahad, we are promising you, we will not fight against you. We are going only for the sole purpose of meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will not fight against you." Now, my dear brothers, they came to Medina Munawwara and they explained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the circumstances of their travel. That this is what had happened, this is what they had promised in front of Abu Jahl. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can imagine the circumstances. The Battle of Badr was at the doorstep. 313 Sahaba against 1,000. 313, you know, Ashabul Badriyin. What is the level of the Iman and what is the level of the sacrifice of those people, of those Sahaba who participated in the Battle of Badr? There are some people, they recite the names of the Ashabul Badriyin and then they make dua to Allah. Allah accepts the dua because of the barakah in the names of those people who participated in that battle. Allah makes mention of it in the Quran, Yawm al-Furqan, the day when the distinguishing day, the deciding factor between Iman and Kufr. A single person was a great strength at that time to the Muslim army. They had about 70 camels. They had, I think, 2 horses and 8 swords, only 8 swords, 313 people facing 1,000 on one hand. So you can imagine the value of one person. Hazrat Huzaifa explained his circumstances and then he requested that, "Oh Nabi of Allah, we want to be part and parcel of that army that is going to fight against the kuffar." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "No, I can never allow you and your father to ever participate in this battle. You have made an ahad, you have taken a promise, and you cannot violate the promise, you cannot break it." My dear brothers, if we were in the circumstances, we'll allow for some leeway, or we'll make some excuse to make ourselves understand, or make the other person understand. But no, my dear brothers, the deen of Islam, this is complete deen. This is what is Islam, my dear brothers. Islam is not confined only in the masjid. This is only one aspect of our deen. It is more to do with outside this masjid than what happens only in the masjid, my dear brothers. Let us instill this in our hearts and in our mind. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not allow them to participate in that battle. Although they were able to participate, he did not allow them because of that ahad and promise that they had made with Abu Jahl. Imagine, they were they are not mentioned amongst those people who participated amongst the Battle of Badr, those Sahaba who participated. Their names are not included. This is what is deen, my dear brothers. Now let us come to our day, our lifespan, our day-to-day activity, my dear brothers. Let us take stock of ourselves. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I go back to it, that the ayat, the signs of those people who are munafiqeen, the person when he speaks, he is speaking a lie. Am I falling in that category or not? Let us take stock of ourselves. Let us consciously visualize Allah in every aspect of our life, my dear brothers. Not only in a masjid, but like that little boy who told Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu that, Ya hadha fa'ayn Allah. Oh uncle, what about Allah? So when I am doing my business transaction, I am alone and nobody is around me, nobody can see me. I have to have that consciousness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me when I'm alone and when I'm not alone as well. When I'm in my business place or when I'm wherever I may be, in my profession or whatever aspect of life I'm involved in, my Allah is observing and watching me, my dear brothers. This is what we need to do. This is what we need to conscientize ourselves with. And this is in reality what is Islam, my dear brothers. Let us make an effort to learn our deen, my dear brothers. Constantly to learn our deen. And how we can implement whatever we learn into our life. This is the deen of Islam. Nobody can say that he is a perfect person, my dear brothers. But to strive to achieve that, to strive to achieve that. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say with regard to a husband? How he is in his home? The best amongst you, khayrukum, khayrukum li ahli. The best amongst you is the one who is best with his family. The best amongst you is the one who is best amongst his family, with his family people, when he's at home. How his akhlaq and character is with people, how he fulfills his promises, etc., the various branches of our deen. This is what is Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq and understanding, and give each one of us the tawfiq and understanding that we understand in reality what is Islam, my dear brothers. What is deen? What is amanat? What is the speaking of truth? Not only in a masjid, but outside the masjid as well. Allah give me also the understanding, give you also the understanding. My dear brothers, I want to make a humble request, especially now that we are out of the month of Ramadan. Let us not make the masjid into a meeting place only, my dear brothers. One person came here, there was one janazah, and then he mentioned to me that I thought that our masjid, meaning whichever town he came here from, was bad. But when I came to Masjid-e-Hilal, and I see the noise here, then I am a bit at ease that we are not so bad. Let us, you know, there are certain areas you get smoke-free areas. You are not allowed to smoke there, you must go quietly, separate, go in the outside area, go smoke there. Let us make it, my dear brothers, this masjid must become a talk-free area, a noise-free area, my dear brothers. If a non-Muslim has to come in a masjid and see how much of noise takes place in a masjid, in the house of Allah, a place where is a place for prayer, for a person to link himself with his Creator, the amount of noise, I don't think a person will be attracted to Islam. No, I don't think so. I don't know if anybody differs. Maybe people might differ with my view, but that is my view. My dear brothers, let us make a firm commitment and intention that without necessity, let us not talk in the masjid. For Allah's sake, make this amongst the signs of Qiyamah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions and says, "Iza rufiatil aswatu fil masajid," that our noise level in a masjid will be a very high level. We meet one another. We must meet. Alhamdulillah. After the nikah, we meet the bride or the bridegroom. Sorry, we meet the bridegroom in a masjid. But my dear brothers, this is the house of Allah. We are not allowed to raise our voices or, you know, if 5 or 10 people talk softly, it becomes a noise, my dear brothers. Let us strive, at least this one thing get into our life. Out of necessity, if you have to speak to somebody, it must be very brief and quiet. And rather you say, meet, we'll meet outside and we'll discuss further. But don't discuss your business aspects and other related aspects, or your house, whatever it might be, here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us make this one commitment for the next week, inshallah. Allah Pak, give me also and give you also the tawfiq.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.